The battle over history is the topic right now for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is one of the greatest writers of our time, in my opinion. His name is Robert Knight. I know him as Bob Knight. Recently wrote a column called Socialism, Howard Zinn, and His Fake History. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Bob Knight now joins us on the program. By the way, you can read Bob's stuff at WashingtonTimes.com. Bob, thanks so much for joining us again on the program.
Always good to be on with you, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, so who was Howard Zinn, who died in 2010? Who was Howard Zinn?
Yeah. Howard Zinn wrote perhaps the most popular history in America. It's called People's History of the United States. It sold more than 2.5 million copies, and you can find it in every school district and university in the country. It is incredibly persuasive. And the thing about Howard Zinn is he set out to revolutionize the study of history from the bottom up. It's all seen from supposedly the viewpoint of oppressed peoples, from the Indians who encountered Christopher Columbus to racial groups in America, to Native Americans out west, even around the world. He presents a picture of American imperialism, American racism, and rampant American capitalism, which apparently has made the world worse. Here's why. Howard Zinn, even though he never admitted it, was a communist. He was part of many Soviet Union front groups in America. He didn't actually use the term communist, but he used Marxist class warfare as his language of choice. Everything is seen through that lens. And if you're familiar at all with Marxism, it's a materialistic philosophy that's anti-God, anti-Christianity. It's all about acquiring power so you can redistribute people's income and therefore acquire more power, until only a few people have it and everybody else is pretty much a slave of the government. That's where communism ends up, and because people don't like it, they have to kill lots of people to get there. Howard Zinn, it's long overdue that he is exposed for the fraud he was. He was a terrible historian. He did all sorts of things to make Columbus look bad, and I can go into them with you, Jerry, one by one, so people know what we're dealing with.
Well, when we see people like AOC, or we see Colin Kaepernick, decrying America as if this has always been a racist country and a terrible country and so forth, not just dealing with, let's say, the sins of slavery or mistreatment of the Indians or, you know, real things that did happen, but it's almost like exaggerating those things while ignoring incredibly beautiful accomplishments and sacrifices by the founding fathers to give this country, or the settlers before them. We're seeing Zinn at work.
Yeah, he gives America no credit. You see his work everywhere. In fact, you could even see it in the film Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon. And I learned about this from a remarkable book, Debunking Howard Zinn, by Mary Graber. And I recommend that book. She goes through the entire people's history and just destroys it page by page. And Matt Damon grew up in Connecticut near Howard Zinn, who lived in Connecticut. And Howard Zinn sort of mentored him. So Matt Damon later returned the favor by plugging a people's history in Good Will Hunting. And the way he does it is he talks about three historians who are credited historians who actually are honest about American history. And he dismisses them and says, well, if you really want to know history, you ought to read Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. Well, if you want to know history, you read real historians. Howard Zinn is a communist version of a historian. As Mary Graber said, he misrepresented sources, he omitted critical information, he falsified evidence, and he plagiarized to a great extent. And the people he plagiarized were hardcore communists. So, it's amazing that this has gone on so long and so few Americans knew about it.
Yeah, but this is very significant because you wonder how in the world, in light of the failed track record of communism, socialism, everywhere it's tried, How is it that 70% of young people in America today, you know, say that they would vote for some kind of socialism? How is Bernie Sanders even in the race, much less doing great, relatively? And the answer gets back to the false teaching of Howard Zinn, which has been, you know, promulgated in our public school system.
Yeah, it isn't just Zinn. There are lots of leftist writers that are held up as models in the university system, especially Herbert Marcuse and people from the Frankfurt School. They were communists who came over at the end of World War One and fled the Nazis, but they brought their communist ideas with them, and they infiltrated our education system. You've got Bill Ayers. Now, Bill Ayers is a very interesting guy because he was a founder of the Weather Underground, which bombed all sorts of buildings, including the Pentagon in the 1970s, to protest the Vietnam War. Some weathermen actually killed a police officer, blew up other people. And when he was interviewed in 2001, he told the New York Times he was just sorry they didn't do more. And yet he has become a major educational figure in America. It didn't seem to hurt him at all that he was part of this radical communist left-wing terrorist group. He became distinguished professor of education at the University of Illinois. He was elected vice president of the American Educational Research Association, and that is the largest organization of education school professors and researchers in the United States. So if you look at that kind of stuff and you see that the educators welcome a guy who was a known terrorist, whose activities actually cost people's lives, then you know what's wrong with the government schools. They're being influenced by people like Bill Ayers. And
If I could add something on Bill Ayers, let me just add something real fast. I've seen a photograph of the mantelpiece of Bill Ayers, and he has got an image there, like a doll or something, of Che Guevara. Che Guevara was, Castro's henchman and shot all these people without any kind of due process because they were property owners or whatever and accused of being opposed to the revolution and so forth. And anyway, Che Guevara was this mass murderer, and yet he's held up as a figure of the left. And I see, you even see occasionally somebody with a Che Guevara t-shirt, and I'm always tempted to say to them, what happened to your Adolf Hitler shirt? Is in the wash or something? What are you doing wearing this? And it's terrible.
Yeah, a lot of young people look at him as a revolutionary hero, and the left has cultivated that image that he was this dashing figure who was just trying to bring liberation to the people in Africa, in South America, and of course in Cuba, where he was the trigger man, as you said, for Fidel Castro. But to show how serious these people were, there was Bernadine Dorn, who was Bill Ayers' wife, and whose home was used to launch Barack Obama's political career in Chicago, which should shock a number of people, that he launched it in the house of two communists. She wrote an article in 1975 called Our Class Struggle. She said, "We're building a communist organization to be part of the forces which build a revolutionary communist party to lead the working class to seize power and build socialism." She went into education as well and had no trouble getting prestigious appointments. And just to show how serious these people are, Larry Graswald, who was an undercover FBI agent who later wrote about his experiences with the Weather Underground, was at a meeting at which the Weather Underground people said, quote, they estimated they'd have to eliminate 25 million people in re-education centers in the United States once they took over. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill 25 million people, Mr. Graswald recalled. These are not just gentle liberals who might disagree with us on a number of issues. These are hardcore communists, and they've been near the top echelons of the educational establishment in this country. And Howard Zinn is basically their prophet, their illustrator of how they view history and how they want to bring America down.
Okay, why does history matter?
If we forget history, we can be prey to the kinds of claims made by hucksters like Howard Zinn, who lead you toward a promised utopia, If you look at history and you understand that people who promise utopias usually end up killing lots of people and causing misery, you're immune to their sales pitch. But if you don't know your history, it sounds new, it sounds refreshing, it sounds revolutionary. If you think of yourself as a high school student or a young college student hearing all these revolutionary phrases about how they're going to bring power to the people, social justice, they use terms like that, and they're very attractive because these kids think, oh, it's just about fairness. It's just about equality. Of course, it's not. Social justice really is a – it started out as a Catholic term in the late 19th century, and it was about helping the poor and lifting people up from dire poverty. But it morphed into a socialist slogan, which means redistributing income. When you see today's progressives talk about social justice, they are talking about seizing more money from taxpayers, specifically the middle class, even though they talk about the 1% they're going to go after, and redistributing it to people who will then vote for them. Social justice is slang for Marxist class warfare.
Okay, we have just 3 minutes left, believe it or not. No, even 2 minutes.
Well,
I know, it's amazing. Let's use Christopher Columbus as a quick example of this false narrative provided by Howard Zinn. He used to be a great hero in America, and he frankly, his accomplishments are incredible, but today he's a villain.
Yeah, he is a villain, and Mary Graber, in her book Debunking Howard Zinn, shows exactly how he libels Christopher Columbus. He takes parts of Christopher Columbus's journal and then adds huge ellipses in between things to make it seem like one statement affects the other. For instance, Columbus wrote about the gentle Arawak Indians he encountered. And so Howard Zinn said that Columbus met the Indians and said, well, they would make good servants. And as if they wanted to just enslave these people. Well, if you look at the context, Columbus was talking about why the Arawaks fell victim to neighboring Indians who always enslaved them. He said, well, because they're a gentle, good-willed people. No wonder they wanted to take them prisoner and make them servants. None of that is in Howard Zinn's book. He just makes it seem as if Columbus wanted to exploit the Indians.
Mm. And what's so sad, though, is the incredible influence of this. And so, you know, what America sacrificed for in war and examples, let's say the Korean War.
Oh.
You know, look at that as an example. We only have a minute left, by the way.
Okay, well, let's go bigger. World War II.
Okay.
He basically says America was no better than Hitler's Germany or Imperial Japan.
What?
He said our main interest was not stopping Nazism or Japanese fascism. It was, quote, advancing the imperial interests of the United States, unquote. That's a Marxist view of World War II. And in the Vietnam conflict, Ho Chi Minh, the leader of the North Vietnamese, who was a ruthless communist, who killed many people when they prevailed, a people's liberator and leader. He totally glosses over Cambodia, where the communist leader Pol Pot killed 2 million people. You wouldn't even find that in this history of Southeast Asia that he includes. And the American presence there during the Vietnam War. It's all geared to making communists look good and America look bad. And just think, millions of students have read this stuff and believed it.
Oh, that's so sad. And he even says that Jamestown, Virginia, and Plymouth, Massachusetts, these are perpetrators of genocide. You can read Bob Knight's stuff at WashingtonTimes.com. We are out of time, Bob. I wish we had more. But thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for getting the word out. God bless.
You too. Bye. Bye-bye.